I'm kind of on the fence about it a little bit, even though I just said that I like to
How about we just leave it?
Okay, whatever.
What's going on, everybody? Podcast number 9. This is our Skyrim podcast. We're recording this on a Tuesday night. Bigger crowd than usual, not just me and Andrew. Bailey's with us.
Hello.
Chris has rejoined the ranks as well.
Hey, hey.
kind of a hesitation there, okay. So yeah, the Skyrim episode. Skyrim comes out on Friday. That's just, what, 3 days away?
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you're here, probably just 2. So we're definitely looking forward to that. Big news, though. Mass Effect 3 style and something we've been waiting to talk about in here a while. So, just like the last one, expect a Skyrim twist of this one. Probably not as in-depth and gushing, but I don't know what Chris has in store for us.
Excited to hear what he has to say.
There you go. He's our authority on this. But before we can get to Skyrim, pretty big news tidbits I'm excited to talk about. So, before we get to that, what are we playing? Andrew, what have you been playing?
Of course, last podcast we did a lot of talking about Arkham City, so I was finally able to get my hands on that game and take it for a spin.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess if I have to sum it up, I got to say it wasn't what I expected, and it's not bad. It's just not everything I wanted it to be.
I believe the way I looked at it, and I think I told you this, was it was everything I wanted, but game-wise, I certainly don't think it was everything it could have been. You know, it was good for a Batman game, but it didn't quite live up to the hype, I don't think. But it was great, don't get me wrong, but there were some empty promises, I felt.
Yeah, honestly, I thought it was going to be a giant game, and it turned out it's basically, in essence, the beginning of more games to come.
I never got that. That's what you told me. I never got that, but I just feel like it's kind of a small game. There's no beginning or end to it. It's just kind of a small game with lazy writing. But
and also, I've been playing. I didn't get to finish it, but I've been diddling around in Lord of the Rings, War in the North, and it's an okay game.
What is that? I mean, to be honest, until you told me you were going to play it, I've never heard of it once. I mean, not even like through the grapevine, a clipping in a damn magazine. I've not heard anything about this game. What's it like? What kind of game is it?
Imagine taking Dragon Age 2 and then like trying to give it a flavor of Bayonetta and then putting that in the Lord of the Rings. The only thing I can say is it tries to be very fluid and trying to do combos on things and all that kind of stuff, but a lot of it doesn't register because it's very, I guess the best word is boxy. You get caught on a lot of things. You got like 2 other people with you, and if they start hitting enemies, it won't register that you're hitting the enemy, and it's got problems. But I mean, overall, it was an okay game. 5 out of 10, Mirror's Edge style. Just play it and be done with it, never touch it again.
Anything else?
None that both me and you haven't taken on together.
All right, well, then I guess that leads into me. Before we get to a game we can both talk about, actually, I've been playing Uncharted 3, which I beat just a few hours before we started recording this. I beat that today. And it's an okay game. I believe the way I'd put it was if you go from Uncharted 1 to Uncharted 2, it's like night and day. It's a great improvement. But if you go from Uncharted 2 to 3, it's like comparing midnight to 1 a.m. They're both just fucking dark. Honestly, playing the game, it is exactly like Uncharted 2, and not just gameplay wise, and that's fine. You know, I expect it to be similar, but there's not much improvement to that, which I feel like there's plenty of room for improvement. I don't know why they didn't address any of the problems. The problems are still there, but story wise, it is honestly a different story. But it's like if you took the story and put it on a wall for Uncharted 2, and then just every main plot point, you change the name of it and change the setting, and it'd be the exact same thing. You start out here, you have a chase scene here, then there's a big chase scene, then there's a big thrilling scene, then there's a desperation scene, then you go to this lost city at the end, and it collapses as you escape for the final level. It is exactly like Uncharted 2 in the sense of every big scene. You know, they didn't try to expand upon it. It's just, it's Uncharted 2.5, really, which Uncharted 2, I was kind of blown away because it was so much better than the first one, but this is just kind of, hey, it's like a modern warfare. So, hey, it's another one.
Think it's game of the year material?
Game of the year material? It's got some stiff competition. And that's for Skyrim and Skyward Sword. So, not for me, no. I wasn't. It's still a great game in the sense of all the things it does right, but it didn't bother to fix any problems I had with it. And don't let the PS3 people tell you. It had problems. Uncharted 2 had problems, and this one has the same ones. So would I recommend it? Sure, but I kind of left. I was left with the impression that it would be a better movie than a game. But other than that, I haven't been playing much because I'm kind of waiting on Skyrim. But you know, I played Batman too. We talked about that. But recently, I've been playing Battlefield 3. I know, especially after we played the beta, I kind of thought, well, I'll never play that game. But kind of bit the bullet, and we'll let the reason why probably come out in a little bit. But yeah, Battlefield 3. I think we weren't too hard on the beta. The beta was bad, but I will honestly say that I don't feel like the main game is anything like the beta, really. Or it doesn't have the same problems. I mean, glitches here and there, sure, but I haven't had any problems getting into games.
Personally, I think the only problem I have with Battlefield 3, apart from it being sort of exactly the same as Bad Company 2, just with better graphics, but that's not too big an issue, because Bad Company 2 wasn't a bad game.
Yeah.
My personal problem is the audience, is the fellow guys with you on your team. I don't know why, I gravitate to the absolute worst people who can ever be paired together.
Well, I suffered through that earlier, but now that you and Travis have gotten, it's gotten better, because it's a hard game to play alone, because it is a big teamwork game. I think I was talking to either Chris or Travis while I was playing, and I found it really funny that I was playing engineer, and I kept looking for an ammo guy. And of course, there's all engineers and medics, so, or snipers too, but there's never a support guy. So I finally found one, right? And you can prompt your teammate to it'll be an audio sound from your character asking for ammo. And I literally did this a couple of times. Just, you know, that's the name of the game. So it's a squad, but teamwork. And I literally asked the dude for ammo, and he quit. Like, the character disappeared. And he quit the game. Like, I can actually see him jumping up and pressing the button on the Xbox to turn it off. Like, no, teamwork, that's out.
I gotta say, I have an exact opposite story of that. I found a support guy who ran over to an enemy and gave him ammo, thinking he was a good guy, and then got blown up by the guy.
Yes, I found that too. People cannot tell good guys and bad guys apart, and that drives me crazy. the people are not smart. That's for sure.
That is a correct statement for that game.
I think you'll actually see that game get better, because I'm sure there's plenty of people are going to keep playing it. But I believe now that today is Modern Warfare Day, so I think you'll see a lot of those people disappear, and I think that community is actually going to get a bit better.
Hopefully.
But as for what I've been playing, that's it. So usually I'm used to going to the news now, but we actually have a couple more people with us. So, Chris, what have you been playing recently?
I've been just looking for games to play, really. I started Gamefly back up, and Gamefly Dynasty Warriors 7. It's just the game. Dynasty Warriors just been a series that I've always loved for some reason, even though it's just XXY, XXYYY. But it's been a lot of fun.
So anything else other than Dynasty Warrior 7?
I rented Deus Ex Human Revolution, but I don't think I'm going to have time to play that. So I'm probably just going to send that back.
Send it back? You're not even going to sit on it for a while?
Nah.
Don't let Jay hear you say that.
I'd recommend playing it if you ever could find the time. It's pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Officially, I know you finished. Did you finish New Vegas?
No, I didn't. I just kind of quit halfway.
And once again, we got another person here. So, Bailey, what have you been playing?
Like you and Andrew, I played through Arkham City, and it was all right. I liked it. But other than that, I've been playing the classic Mega Man 5 through 7, and I've started X. So, that's it for me.
All right, so diving into the news. Two topics to talk about, both huge topics. First one, we had a little news to talk about when I was planning this podcast last week. But Friday came around, and this kind of boiled up to a really big piece of news. So the first small thing was, since the last podcast, they announced that there would be a Mass Effect 3 demo. No timetable concrete-wise has come out, but it's coming out in January. That's all we know. And I believe later this month they're going to tell us when. There'll be early access to it if you bought Battlefield 3 or, as they said, a couple of other ways to get in. So how do y'all feel about a Mass Effect 3 demo?
Yeah, I'd be excited about a demo. Honestly, I'd really like to see them do a full-fledged demo of the Anderson part on Earth that you got to see at, like, E3. And I'd like to see them at least have in the demo that they were planning, because we've got some other news about these demos. I'd like to see some stuff about the whole customization of guns actually in their demo.
Well, if you have the Anderson part, you're not going to get that. And I think that part's awesome. And once again, we'll talk about that in a second, but I feel like the part they've shown, the part on the Solarian homeworld, is the best for a demo, just because it's just more about the combat. There's a little bit of talking here and there, but the opening part is going to be a bit too much fluff, which, I mean, granted, you know, I'd love to see that, but at the same time, if I get to my hands on the game early, I just want to play it and get a feel for it rather than really worry about the story. But on the same part, it's I don't know if I said it, but it's half single player, half multiplayer, so there is the multiplayer component of the demo. So you'll get to play both. So I guess you could get your gameplay fix from the multiplayer if you wanted to. So I'm the Mass Effect freak. I was on that. We're all excited. Yeah, demo, that's great. I even pretty much bought Battlefield 3 so I get in there early, right?
Yeah.
So lo and behold, me and Andrew have talked previously about being in this Xbox dashboard preview, and I got on Xbox Friday night, and there was a Mass Effect 3 picture on the little dashboard for the beta or whatever the hell you want to call it. So you click this Mass Effect thing, and we downloaded it, and it was gone within 30 minutes. Turns out someone on Xbox made a big mistake, and there was a private beta, is exactly what it's called. And it's basically a half-finished portion of the game, single player and multiplayer, that we all got to play. So let's talk about this a bit. What did y'all think about that?
I don't know if I can use any other word than amazing. I think that's been described by pretty much everyone that got to play it or see it, but I'm full-fledged with them on it. It was a pretty amazing experience to get to have. When you just kind of log on to the Xbox not expecting anything.
Yeah, I have to agree with Andrew. It was amazing. I really enjoyed the multiplayer, but it felt kind of more of an alpha instead of a beta, since the textures weren't really all there, but I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, but the one thing, the multiplayer part, other than all the characters being locked, which I guess is actually you could probably unlock, because we were able to unlock some stuff. We just played one round.
Yeah.
So I'm sure if someone who's actually supposed to be in this beta played it, they could unlock some of that stuff. But the multiplayer felt done in the sense of that's probably a beta into some tweaking need to be done with like animation stuff. The single player part was the parts where they'd have like prototype cinematics, people stuck in walls, computers doing voices. I mean, it was really kind of bizarre.
It was funny though.
Yeah, I've never played something that kind of in that kind of half baked state. And I mean, it was pretty neat, but it was strange to see that on your own Xbox, kind of, it's your house. For people who didn't get in it or got to play it, it was single player, multiplayer, and the multiplayer, from what I could tell, we did it really quick, because I didn't know when they were going to try to take it down, which turns out was a good thing, because they did take it down. We probably were in it for an hour before it was disabled. There was a multiplayer part with two levels. I couldn't tell you where we played, but we played against just like a wave of Cerberus, and what was our objective? Do y'all remember?
Hacking.
You had to get some data at the end. And it's pretty neat. Like I said, I was kind of swept up in the moment. I don't remember too much about it. But the mechanics are fine. I can imagine that being fun to play once it's done. You get a chance to get your hands on it. But the really interesting part was the single player, which was the opening part. And that was chopped up pretty good. But like I said, the Anderson part, we call it, on Earth. There was that part, and there was also the Sir Kesh part, which is the Solarian homeworld that we've seen so much. And both the Solarian part was pretty much the whole thing. Once again, I think it's chopped up some, but it was longer. It's the longest I've ever seen of it.
It's really extensive. I didn't really.
There were multiple weapons that, of course, y'all apparently used. I didn't know how to use them, but I don't want to spoil anything like that. But it was pretty neat. I was glad we got to experience it.
Yep.
I will say the coolest part I thought about that single-player demo was that it actually had the Kinect function inside the demo.
Yeah.
So you actually got to use it, and I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, I think I don't know who discovered it first, but maybe you or me just asked. I wonder if that the Kinect stuff works, and apparently you were having much more success than I was. it wasn't working as well for me, but I mean it worked. But I know that's something they're just now working on trying to fix. When they first announced it, I thought it'd be a great thing. I don't know how much farther it has to come. I hope it has a lot farther, because it's kind of delayed for me in the sense of if you're using the controller and you're using the left and right on the D-pad to give someone a command, it's instant, you know? And that delay, I'd almost feel like just go ahead and pull up that wheel and selecting it that way, because it was pretty slow for me.
Personally, for me, I gotta say, I thought it was great in that it was a totally different experience on how to play the game, because I was having moments where I would come over to the side of an enemy and I would yell as soon as I see him, Garrus Overload. And so, you know, he would do that instantly, or I guess not really instantly, kind of with delay.
I understand.
But I mean, he would do that and I wouldn't need to pull up a wheel. And it was just kind of like, all I had to really worry about was Shepard and what he was doing, as opposed to having to pull up a wheel and make sure everything's aligned and nothing gets caught in a corner on a power or something like that.
I bet that made it flow really nice.
It did.
And especially it'd be helpful for someone like you, Andrew, who plays soldier and don't have any access to like a power or something, because the guys with shields, didn't you have to use like a singular to pull the shields away from them? I didn't, like I said, I wish I could talk more in depth about this, but I kind of beat it pretty quick, thinking that I could probably go back and play it later, but that was not the case. We got a one-time thing at it.
Yeah, you did have to get the shields off of them. I don't remember actually like pulling shields off of them, but...
Yeah, I just kept shooting them.
I know if you do the singularity, it like floats them away from them. Here's a question, though, Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
As someone who didn't get to play it, but you watched me play it, what did you think of it, since you had a hands-off approach to it and you couldn't really tell me how it felt?
I thought it was really cool, and when you told me about it, I was really jealous because, of course, I wanted to play it too, but from a third-person perspective, I guess, I thought it was really awesome.
So yeah, Mass Effect 3 Beta. Apparently there is one, and apparently we got to play it. I don't know what else will become of that. I doubt we'll see anything of it until the demo comes out, but it was fun to get our hands on early.
All right, moving away from the old Mass Effect news, that was pretty big news. We got some other pretty big. I don't think it's the same degree as Mass Effect was.
I don't know. This is pretty huge. This has been a long time coming.
Grand Theft Auto 5, a teaser trailer, was not too long. Didn't show too much, but it gave you a nice tidbit into what's going to be going on.
Lots of speculation.
Lots of speculation. And to be honest, a week before. Like, I believe the trailer's about a week old now. And about a week before, they you know, said when the trailer was coming out. And everybody had to know something like this was what they were going to show. And because they've never... Rockstar's never been one to show big story points in a trailer or stuff like that. They've always... I mean, you don't even get to see gameplay, usually. Or pure gameplay with the HUD up. I don't know. Like I said, the speculation's rampant. But I thought it looked pretty awesome. And I wonder how much of it is, are you dreaming? Is this actually going to happen? Or how much of it is, you know, this is in the game? But it looked pretty awesome, I thought.
I thought so, too.
Yep. And so to clarify this, they're going back to the West Coast. We know that. But I think they're going to a different place, Los Santos, I think.
That was San Andreas, wasn't it?
Well, yeah, it's San Andreas. That's the fictional California. Los Santos was the first place you started out in San Andreas. But they haven't confirmed anything about other cities, and let me go ahead and just get it out of the way. The speculation is that there's going to be three playable characters, and you can see three different characters in the trailer. They're clearly there. Three different people. They look totally different. And speculation is maybe the story ties all three of these people together, and one person mains in Los Santos, the city. One person mains in the San Fierro, the San Francisco, and one's Las Venturas, the Las Vegas. And that's the speculation that's going to be all three cities. Rockstar's only come out and said it's set in Los Santos, which people say, well, they're just talking about the trailer. It's very vague language, and they've yet to come out and say it's only in Los Santos. So, worst case scenario, yes, it's going to be kind of the rural area around the Los Angeles kind of Grand Theft Auto style place. Mm-hmm. Best case is it's just going to be as big as San Andreas was. I got to say, though, the one thing I saw in there, which I'm most excited about, are jets. And those are coming back, which, as much as there are different reasons I didn't really care for Grand Theft Auto 4, the protagonist, the radio, just other small things like that, not being able to fly planes for some reason was a big deal to me. I really miss doing that.
Yeah, I wonder why they took that out.
I don't know. I don't know if it was because it just the city wasn't big enough or what, but I also think it's some of the Oblivion effect, if you'll indulge me here, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you're making a game for a new console that you haven't made a game for yet, other than, I know, didn't Rockstar make that table tennis game, the ping pong game, just like have the graphics engine?
Yeah.
And apart from that, they didn't really have any experience programming a big game for the 360, PS3, and all that. And I believe that's part of the reason that you get kind of gimped games to come out with sometimes. Think about Gears of War 1, how bare bones that game really is. It's a kind of bare bones campaign with a few weapons, and then you got the multiplayer that was really an afterthought. And
how much they've improved on it since.
Yeah, exactly. And think about Oblivion compared to Skyrim was coming out. Obviously, they had a long time to work on it, but Oblivion was a first try on a console like this. But I think we can agree that, I mean, there's a lot to do in that game. It was a great game, but if you look at it now, does it not feel a bit hollow? Just kind of like, huh?
It does. It does.
It doesn't feel like something to come back to just because it's a bit plain. And I feel like Grand Theft Auto 4 for me was a bit plain. It was a great game, but I feel like a lot of stuff you want in there is not in there just because of all the time they spent trying to get it working on these new consoles, that this is going to be the real Grand Theft Auto for the next generation. Like I said, we know nothing about this game, basically. Rockstar, I don't think they've even done an interview about it yet. But if I had to ask, I'll just go around. I guess Bailey doesn't care, but both of y'all, what's one thing you want to see in this that you didn't get in Grand Theft Auto? It's just anything. Andrew, what about you?
With San Andreas, it had a lot of variety in the setting. I thought you could go straight from the urban to the rural to the suburban to the beach and all that stuff. You know, pretty much just make a game session, 30-minute game session, of just going around those different areas. And Grand Theft Auto 4 was very just city. That's all it really was. Just
very depressing. A very concrete feeling, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I played it to go with Travis. It's so gloomy.
It is. And that's the one thing I hope they change for Grand Theft Auto 5. I hope they kind of make it more variety-based in the places you can go and the things you can do.
And to be fair, from the trailer, it looks like it.
Yeah, it does.
That's a funny thing that we all wind up talking about San Andreas, is if I think back to that game, and yeah, it's so big in the city, blah, 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 but the most fun I can always buy is just driving around the interstate through the rural area just listening to the radio or something like that, or flying over these rural mountains. That was like the coolest part for some reason. It makes you feel like you're traveling. It was just really neat for that time, and I feel like something nowadays done like that would be great. Chris, is there anything you can single out that you'd like to see?
Yeah, Andrew kind of summed it up for me. I was thinking exactly the same thing, just more variety.
A petty thing I want is a better radio. I thought, am I the only one thought Grand Theft Auto 4 had like bad radio?
I'll agree with you on that, 100%. Awful radio until the DLC was Boston Damned. And
yeah, that had some good songs. The other one, those had some good songs. When I look at Grand Theft Auto and I've been thinking about this recently, especially you look at stuff like Call of Duty and even Battlefield, which is one that they're trying to be the good guys in that Call of Duty Battlefield War. And yeah, I like Battlefield 3, but that, Halo's, Gears of War, you know, commercial franchises. They're very Hollywood, if that word can carry any connotation to what I'm trying to say. They're sellouts. They're looking to make money.
Business oriented.
Yeah, and Grand Theft Auto, don't get me wrong, it's a huge money-making franchise, one of the biggest. Someone's saying that Grand Theft Auto 5 could sell 25 million copies. It's crazy. But I feel like, even though it's so popular, it's not a franchise that's sold out yet. It's not like we're having a Grand Theft Auto every year, and every time they do it, it's a big deal, and I feel like it should be a big deal. There's a lot of charm to the games, even though they're so big, and they're just really well done, and that even though they will make the money, I feel like it's not about making the money. It's about making a fun game. All right, so like I said, not much news. Two things, but I think we gushed pretty good about just two stories. But moving on, talked about it last time. A lot of games came out, blah blah blah. But Batman, that was our big game, and it was a good game. It lived up to most of the hype, not all of it, but most. But as much as we love Batman, I did not think they were going to announce a new Elder Scrolls game, and that was less than a year ago. And ever since then, you know, I was excited.
Wow, it's been that long.
Yeah, 11-11-11. Yeah, they said it a year ago, and sure enough, here it comes. And I guess I shouldn't act like I've been an Elder Scrolls fan since Arena or whatever, but Morrowind got me hooked to this open-world genre, which is something I feel like they've kind of perfected in the single-player sense. What are the massively single-player role-playing game? And that's what they call it, and that's what it is. And I love Fallout, but I always thought Elder Scrolls did the setting better, and Fallout had the better gameplay, I always thought, but the world was easier to get yourself lost in, and I, for one, am thrilled to play Skyrim.
So am I.
We know.
Yeah, I can say I'm pretty thrilled, too. Not to the degree of YouTube.
So, yeah, Skyrim. The big thing is dragons. Everybody's wanted dragons in an Elder Scrolls game, and sure enough, they're a huge part of this one. Andrew, what do you feel about the inclusion of dragons? Do you care? Because I know a lot of people are super hyped. I never really thought about it when I played the previous two games. I never really thought about, where are the dragons?
Personally, it all depends on their scale of toughness. If there's something that they're kind of random to come across, but they're not going to be a big nuisance to you in terms of whatever level you're at, then I'll be fine with them, and I'll, you know, be excited to fight one. But if they're going to be just, I mean, if they're going to be tough all around the whole time just for the purpose of being tough, then I'm going to steer clear of them, and I'm going to say they were more of a nuisance than an add-on.
That is a great point, because it just got me thinking while you were talking. Fallout 3, once you got to the point, the super mutant, was it Overlord? Master? What was it called?
Behemoth.
Behemoth. The huge things. There's only like five of them in the game, and they were a lot of fun to fight. At first, they were kind of daunting, but then you got your character leveled, you were kind of done with the game, just walking around, and you were looking for these things because they were fun to bring down. And once you killed all five, they were gone forever. But then again, once you're done with the game, you want to try to find something big like that, just the thrill of fighting it. And I feel like dragons, I'd hope that they're not going to bother you in the beginning when you're too weak. I hope you're not going to get assaulted by them and die a lot. But at the same time, I hope they're always challenging in the sense of you're like, I've leveled my character up. I'm bored. Let's go find a dragon to kill it. That'd be fun. That'd be something fun to do, just walking around.
Feel a sense of accomplishment once you beat them.
I feel like if they weren't in it, they're supposed to be random. We'll see how random they are. I don't know if they're... I don't really know how they can make that work. But something like that, I feel like it would be fun to go looking for a dragon. And it gives me incentive to explore the world more if I was saying, okay, let's go dragon hunting, so to speak. Like Andrew said, as long as they're not something that wears out its welcome pretty quick, I feel like it'd be pretty cool. So, Skyrim, it's an Elder Scrolls game, just like the previous two, and it's going to be what you expect. But, that being said, I'm finding myself very excited for this game for all the changes they're putting into it, and Chris is more of the purist, and I can't wait to see how he feels about some of this, because I've heard some people are mad, some people are on the fence. Some people were ecstatic, kind of like me, and it kind of is doing away with a few things that are, I don't know, you can say mainstays of the series in the effort to simplify the formula in the sense of making it more fun, is the way I see it. And some of these being like getting rid of some useless skills, adding perks, giving you just the overall streamlining of the leveling experience and the gameplay. Chris, overall, I mean, not to single one thing out unless you want to, how do you feel about the direction they're taking the system of Skyrim?
I have to experience it for myself to actually form an opinion about the whole, all of the changes. But I saw the armor degradation. I saw that was taken away, and I like that a lot, actually.
Yeah, I think that's a great move because, to be honest, repairing or paying to get your stuff repaired got old quick. And I felt like Fallout did a good job with it since you could kind of, it was almost like a hobby, I guess, to find the right weapon to repair your thing. I thought that was pretty cool.
Personally, I like the idea of taking away armor degradation and all that kind of stuff because I think over the years, the games they've put out have taught them some good lessons about what people do and don't like to play.
Exactly. I'm not a game developer, but if I was, that would be my like philosophy. Just because something like that is a staple, and I'm doing the air quotes, it doesn't mean it always has to be in the game. I saw in the corner when we played that Mass Effect 3 demo, there was some of the minerals, and I'm hoping they don't try to keep that mining mini game from 2. It was pointless. It was stupid. If they're saying, you know, that was one of the experiences that, you know, for good or bad, people talk about in Mass Effect 2. Well, it was for the bad, and that's why it needs to be gone. Get rid of it. I'm not bashing on all the things that they're taking out from Morrowind or Oblivion. Some of that, I can't believe they took that out, but at the end of the day, I don't think there's anything that are absolutely vital to the formula that they're taking out. So, yeah, just, I mean, like I said, we could sit here for hours talking about all the changes done to the gameplay. But something I do want to touch on is the creation engine, they're calling it. I think we can all agree. Let's go back a bit further. Morrowind, for when it came out, that was a pretty good-looking game. I even played on the Xbox and thought it looked good. I mean, by today's standards, it looks like shit. But back then, it was a believable world for what it was. Oblivion came out, and back then, yeah, it still looked pretty good. But, I mean, it has aged poorly. And so I'm glad to see that they took this terrible Gamebryo engine that I can't stand, and they've tried to make something else more viable. Hopefully it won't have the amount of bugs, looks a little better, and the biggest thing is they're having a back-end system to patch bugs, so they don't need to wait on Microsoft, who's the chief instigator of this, to release some patch for a game-breaking thing. They can just do it themselves through their own system.
Yeah, they're supposed to have like a day one patch or something like that.
That might be actually something official, like, you know, the title update you have to get offline, or it makes you install to play online. But Mortal Kombat did it. So just for example, if I say there's this dungeon that's why New Vegas got such a bad rap. And yes, it was bug ridden. It was the when you first played the game, it was bad. I don't take that away from Andrew. Back a year ago, it was that game was rough. But just because there's one problem, they have to wait for all these others to fix it because it takes 2 months to get a patch through Microsoft. It's really Microsoft's fault the way they do those patches. So now we can have a team for Skyrim, and if Chris says, well, this blah, 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 this dungeon has a bug, and I say this dungeon has a bug, they can just fix them at their own leisure, and they don't have to worry about Microsoft because they can just upload it through the back end. And that's very handy for a game that big, which we know is going to have bugs.
It's inevitable.
It is inevitable.
I actually like to talk about something about Skyrim. I felt with Arkham City, I was a bit scorned by the time length of it. Mm-hmm. Felt like I'd kind of beat it a little too quick, and not, mm-hmm. you know, not from trying, but just from game itself not being really that long. So do you think that Skyrim is going to have that full length playability that the other Elder Scrolls games have? Do you think you'll be spending days and days and days just playing through the main story and side missions? Or do you think it might actually do like Arkham City and kind of you think it was big, but then you end up playing it and beating it quick?
I think that that's just a staple of the Elder Scrolls games, that they always have plenty of things to do and give you hours upon hours of fun and exploring. And
yeah, I don't think it's possible for this to falter like Arkham City did, because I feel like Arkham City was still, it had plenty to do. I feel like the challenge modes where that game really faltered, because that got boring quick. But with Elder Scrolls games, the world's so big, it's going to take 100 hours just to do a lot of the stuff in there. Nowhere near all. Just, you know, to feel like you've done a lot, maybe 60%, it's going to take you at least 100 hours.
Yeah.
So that's just the way that is. And as much as I love Fallout 3, and I've played it a lot, I probably have 150-plus hours on that. So the thing it always had lacking, in my opinion, was it's a wasteland. And once again, that's by design, but it's just not fun to walk around there. The combat, you know, blowing people's heads off is a lot of fun. But especially with Skyrim, they're trying to do so much work in varying the environment. And yeah, there's fast travel, but for a lot of the time, you're just going to want to walk from point A to point B just because it's nice to look at, or you're looking for this or that. And I can actually remember Oblivion was one of those games that Daedric Shrines, looking for quests for that. I refused to go online because I just wanted to find them on my own. It gave me incentive to explore. And I feel like Morrowind was a game where you could pretty much get lost. There was was kind of cumbersome, and Oblivion did a better job with fast travel. It was easy to get around, and it encouraged a lot of exploration. And I hope that Skyrim's the same way. I'll get to that in a second. But to answer your question, Andrew, yes, I feel like it will live up to the hype of 300 hours, they say, to do everything. I definitely feel like it can do that.
Good, good. I just...
Now, I did touch on something that I was waiting until you're done with that. One thing about this game I'm concerned about, and I want to get y'all's opinions on this, the inventory system and the menu system in general. I don't like the map. I don't like the 3D map. And I really don't like, I believe Todd Howard said, if Apple were to make an Elder Scrolls menu, this is how it would look. I don't really like the way it looks. It looks weird aesthetically, but I don't know how it's going to work mechanically. I know they're making this with, like, I'm going to play it on the 360, and they're making it the 360 in mind, apparently. But it's easy to spread something like this out on a PC, and I'm kind of worried that it's not going to work that well on a controller.
Why do you think that? I mean, you can see all the items in 3D and everything.
Yeah, but if you ever watch a video of it, you already have all these weapons and spells. You also have to throw shouts in the mix now.
Yeah.
And if you watch a video, it is a lot of the time that he's sitting there and then he's thumbing through this, you know, holding the left trigger, however you do it, thumbing through all these spells, looking. There's no, I remember sooner or later it's just going to be stuck in your mind. But if I was playing Oblivion, right, I could hold the hotkey down on my Xbox controller, and I could just look at the icon for the spell and say, okay, I know that thing. That's a paralyzed spell. That's what that icon means. Mm-hmm. And now you're stumbling through titles, and yeah, I mean, you'll get used to it, but this looks a bit clunky because this is going to be a game where you have a huge inventory. There's ton. Like I said, I played Oblivion the other day, and I don't even know where half the stuff I've discovered is. And it's just such a big game with so much loot, if you will. I feel like it's going to be a bit clunky trying to organize all that.
Yeah, I agree. But we'll see how it works out.
Yeah, I don't know how. But Andrew, how do you feel about it? I don't think they're going to be able to make it work as fluidly as they think it is.
Honestly, I was waiting for someone to actually say that. I think when I was looking at one of those videos and it showed, you know, Todd Howard having to sit through, you know, all the stuff mm-hmm. he can put into his left and right hand, to me that just seems like it sort of takes you out of the action.
Exactly.
And so, you know, if you're an archer, but you also like to use a spell so you can actually see the people in the snow so that you can shoot them with your bow, it's going to be a long process of pulling this and that and the other out.
So, we've been talking forever about it. Obviously, we're all excited for Skyrim. Any, just like with the Grand Theft Auto trailer, any kind of last hope you want from the game? Chris, you're the Elder Scrolls expert. We know after this whole ordeal, we know how deep your Elder Scrolls roots run. Mm-hmm. Is there any one hope you take away from this game that you want to see?
The one thing I want to see from it is its ability to immerse me into the game, if that makes mm-hmm. sense.
Yeah, that's. I believe that's the name of the game, really. That's what they're all about. Andrew, what's the one thing, anything that you'd like to see happen in Skyrim?
Length. I'd love to see a long, long game. coming around the end of this year for all the other games we've had who've been generally short.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one thing I really want to see, just a long game to come out in the year.
I mean, I'll give all the above, and to be honest, I'm with Chris. I don't see how I can really disappoint on any level as long as you know what you're getting, and it's an Elder Scrolls game. Don't look for some kind of pulse-pounding, Uncharted kind of style thing. It's just going to be, like I said, immersion. It's about the world and all the touches they put on it, and just kind of just that nod and playing along, like, yeah, this is fun. Whew, all right, I believe we've talked at length kind of about what we want from the game. Just like with the Batman podcast, if you're tired of Skyrim, sorry, because we're going to hop in the mailbag, and once again, it's Skyrim questions. So to take the burden off of me, we actually got Bailey here. So Bailey, you don't really care about Skyrim, so would you do the honors of asking us these questions?
Of course.
All right, with that, let's hop into the mailbag.
So Super Afro Boy asked a few questions, and the first one is, what race are you going to start as? How about you, Andrew?
Personally, I'm probably going to pick Imperial. I'm the kind of guy I like to go with. Some people might call it boring. I call it classic. So I like to be just the normal human. You know, I like to talk to the cat people, or, you know, the vampires or the werewolves and all that. But I just like to be the normal human. That's sort of my thing. What kind of race are you looking towards, Logan?
Dark Elf, Dunmer. That's who I played as in Morrowind. I just like their voices. I thought they.
Has it been confirmed if their voices are the same as Morrowind?
I've heard it, and they're trying to sound similar. They sound better than in Oblivion, but
yeah.
I don't know. They got kind of like a mystique to them, because if you remember in Morrowind, you talked to, I don't know how to pronounce it, Job. I guess this is his name, and you know, he was that. And then after you talk to him, you get to make your character. Like, oh, I'll do this guy. And I wanted to play one in Oblivion, but they looked pretty fucking stupid.
Bloated.
Yeah, but they look pretty awesome in this game. So
yeah, they do.
I'm gonna roll with that.
They've even made the Wood Elves look nice.
Yeah, I know. Chris, I obviously know your answer, but for everybody else, what are you going to play as?
I'm going to play as a Nord, as I've always played as.
Now, this isn't spoiling thing, but Chris, you haven't seen that leaked the first 20 minutes of the game, right?
No, I haven't.
It's pretty cool, because the guy selects a Nord, and I thought it was neat how other Nords that were in the at the opening talked to you as their brethren, and I wonder how that's going to trickle down to other. Yeah, they specifically addressed, and it wasn't just like, "Hey, you're a Nord." I mean, there were like three different lines,
kind of like Oblivion.
They were addressing what they were. It was pretty neat, and I wonder how deep that'll go.
I'm kind of curious to see how they're going to do that.
And his next question is, what features from Morrowind / Oblivion would you like to see return, Logan?
Morrowind, when I think about it, is. Antiquated is the best word I can come up with. It's a relic. I could not ever see myself playing that game again. But the charm that Morrowind had, the world was so believable and it was so varied. And that's, I think I'm going to get in that vibe from Skyrim, but I'd like to feel like I'm in a different part of the world. And it makes, because it's artificially large. It's obviously not as big as a continent, what it's supposed to be. And you want to feel like if you take the time to move to this portion, it's different than that one. And like we said, Cyrodiil and Oblivion was basically one big forest, and it was kind of boring, other than the mountains. So I want to see some variation in the world. That adds to the sense of scale you have. From Oblivion, I think they're just keep going in the directions they went from Oblivion. You saw it in Fallout, and I definitely it's going to be more. And Chris might say it's casualizing. That's what some people like to throw that word around, but I think it's streamlining. Morrowind was clunky. Oblivion was still clunky. This game's going to be less clunky, and if that makes it casualized, then call me a casual, because that's more fun. It's less crap in my way of having fun. Andrew, what about you?
Personally, I think from Morrowind, I'd like to see... I remember they had references in there, and I thought that was really cool.
Like, what do you mean by... You know,
like the Indiana Jones skeleton that you find in the cave.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. And so I'd like to see more of that kind of stuff, a little lightheartedness that you sort of run across if you're exploring around. But I think from Oblivion... I'd like to see, I remember with Morrowind, when you just got started, like my first playthrough with Morrowind, I did not have a good experience because it sort of just kind of lets you go out there and I sort of became overwhelmed really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought with Oblivion, it sort of scaled that back a bit and it made it a bit, it steered you in the right direction to go so that you don't get overwhelmed.
By giving you the compass.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, yeah, the compass and everything. Because, like, with Morrowind, I didn't know where I was going a lot of the time on my first playthrough. I'd walk around and be like, you know, where am I? What am I doing? And I thought with Oblivion, it was sort of kept you on the right direction, and you didn't get overwhelmed a lot of the time. And so I hope they bring that into Skyrim.
That's a good point. And but at the same time, I just want to touch on it real quick before we let Chris talk. Morrowind did do that, and Oblivion did do that as well. But I like the sense of Oblivion, or excuse me, I like the sense that in Morrowind, I'm sure Chris will know, if you're traveling from the first place, Saedanin, if you're going to, where are you supposed to go first? Okay, is that where you're supposed to go first? Mm-hmm. If you can, I believe either if you go the wrong way one time, you can run into a, like a, what do they call it? He's like a toll man. He's a bandit on the road, and if you're kind of a just really wet behind this, you can get yourself killed. And I like the idea of there's some things you just cannot fight as a level one character, and I don't like how Oblivion scaled that stuff back. Fallout 3 did it too. New Vegas did a better job trying to keep you from going straight to New Vegas. But I'd like to see it where you're level 1. You can't tangle with a lot of enemies. You shouldn't be able to. And the same thing, once you're level 30 or whatever, a lot of things shouldn't be able to tangle with you. It should be that experience of growing stronger. And eventually you're too strong. But you should never be at this. It shouldn't be a flat experience. It should be exponential. Sorry, Chris, what about you?
The features for Morrowind and Oblivion that I'd like to see would be references to like the lore and stuff like that. I know they did a few references that they've already confirmed, like the Azura quest or something like that.
And Super Afro Boy's last question is, best stories or experiences from previous Elder Scrolls games? How about you, Andrew?
I'm going to go with best experience. Can't think of too many big just stories that I had, but in terms of the experience, I think Logan said it before, just generally traveling around, just walking around and admiring the scenery, you know, seeing what they have to offer is about the best experience I think you can have. And that's not saying a bad thing. You know, I'm not trying to downplay it. It's just that's literally, if I was going to recommend something to somebody about the Elder Scrolls, that would be what I'd recommend. Just see the wilderness. Just go out there and tangle with the animal. See what kind of baddies you can come across just walking around. I mean, just the randomness from it is great, and I love that kind of experience out of it. What about you, Chris?
Well, a good story from Morrowind would probably be whenever you first go out of Saedanin and one of the trails, there's this guy that comes from the sky. It's just kind of like you don't expect that at all, and you're, what? And he's falling, and that was kind of strange to me, but that was neat in a way.
Yeah.
And from Oblivion, I'd say the first time you step out of that Imperial city, Imperial sewers,
yeah,
and you see all that scenery and mountains. I know they did that purposely, but that's just amazing that you could just see all that from when you first step out of that sewer. What about you, Logan?
You took one right out of my mouth. I'll never forget, even on my piddly-ass Apex television, back when Oblivion came out, walking out of those sewers, and, you know, it's supposed to be like your eyes are changing to the brightness, and just, you know, it goes to white, and then you see that gigantic lake and all the forests and the Imperial City over there. It's really neat. That was kind of breathtaking, because, like I said, I don't think Oblivion looks good nowadays, but back then, that game looked amazing, especially as somebody who was always a console kind of person. Experience, though, I got to go a Morrowind. A game I had a magazine I was reading on the shitter when I was a kid, and it was they wrote a good review for Morrowind, and I rented it, like, the next day. To be honest, I read the review, and I didn't even know what the game was. I could not find out, what is this game about? And even as I was supposed to, what the hell do you do in this game? And just that first kind of opening up and really, well, I guess I can go anywhere. That was kind of a neat idea, and I don't know if I'd played many games like that in 2002. That was a lot of fun. Morrowind, a lot of it was just settings. I remember I'd take it, if my parents were sleeping, I'd take it in there to the living room and hook up to the surround sound, and going into the Dwemer ruins and how just the sounds coming from all around me that creep me out late at night, or climbing Red Mountain. Me and Chris are talking about the same 2-second wind loop. It sounds kind of stupid. Yeah, it's kind of like a stupid, but it was a while ago. I mean, how old would I have been? 2003. 14? Yeah, I mean, I wasn't like a kid, but I was young. But it kind of scared me. I was like, I don't want to go up there. That's spooky. And that's pretty neat, I think. I'm past checking under my bed at that point, looking for monsters. And to go into this Red Mountain and maybe climbing around in these dwarven ruins and hearing all these sounds and the sky being around all that dust, it's kind of creepy. And the atmosphere, and that's another sense of the immersion. These games are so good at sucking you in. And like I said, that's I think that's what the best part about video games are. Yeah, that's not real, and of course it's not real. But for the most part, real life sucks, and when you can get away to something like that that's a lot of fun to put yourself into, then if it does it good, then that's all the better.
We also have some questions from Josh. What are your expectations for the game, and what are you most excited about? How about you, Logan?
We've already hit on this mostly. Expectations, like I said, I want it to be the fifth Elder Scrolls game. I want it to follow the formula, and I want it to expand upon it. I talked about Uncharted 3 just being Uncharted 2.5. I want this to be its own game. Don't make it, it doesn't have to be Morrowind with better graphics. Let it be Skyrim. I'm fine with that. Most excited about Morrowind, I thought Oblivion did a good job expanding from Morrowind when it came to skills. What you do is what you level up in. It kind of makes sense. It's not like I have a birthday and then, all of a sudden I'm better at three different things because I leveled them up. It's like in the real life. What you do, if I spend my days playing video games, I'll level up and I get better at video games. That's what I'm practicing. I loved how Oblivion did that. I hated how they went back to just stats and numbers in Fallout 3. And I like the idea that what you do is how you get better. You don't have to pick major and minor skills. It's all just kind of cumulative. And so it's just a number that dictates stuff like damage and fatigue and stuff like that. But if you want to shape your character to be a certain way, that's what perks are for. And I think that's perfect. I cannot wait to shape my character using that system. Andrew?
I think I'm most excited about the length. But I think what I'm expecting is, in that length, I'm expecting there to be a lot of originality in what you're going to do. Like Todd Howard said, I think there's going to be around 150 different dungeons for you to go through. Mm-hmm. And what I'd hope is each of those dungeons have their own style of how you get through it. I'd like to hope that this dungeon has a lot more jumping around that you're going to have to do. And this dungeon has, it's shorter, but it's got harder enemies in it. And this dungeon, has you climbing up a lot more. And this dungeon has you going below ground a lot more. So I'd like to see it's not just a template they use for a lot of these dungeons so that they can finish it up and that it's all going to be its own original quest that you're going to have to go through for each thing you get. What about you, Chris?
I think we've pretty much covered everything that I'm excited about and all my expectations, but something that I'm kind of wanting to see is surprises, something that I didn't read about, nothing, I've never heard of this, something that would come up that I would just be like, wow, that's really cool.
I feel like there is going to be stuff like, because I heard not long ago there's werewolves in the game, and I know they explicitly said there's not. So that's kind of some misinformation on their part. I feel like there will be some kind of surprises.
Yeah, and another kind of petty thing, but another thing that I was kind of excited about was they were adding bosses at the end of dungeons.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't see that? Like spiders and stuff. Like huge spiders at the end of dungeons.
I like that.
Yeah.
Another way to kind of make it feel significant.
Yeah, and it kind of makes you feel like you're going to a dungeon to get like a big item from the boss instead of just going in there for a little small loot,
And that's another thing that bothered me about Oblivion was when it came to loot, and Morrowind had a lot of great kind of hidden items, the Daedric Crescent.
Yeah.
If you, I know exactly, you can picture it in your head right now, yep. Chris. stuff like enchanted armor and stuff like that is
special.
You can just find but a lot of that in Oblivion you could find in a random dungeon just because if you were a high level, you got high level items. And I like that. I like the thing if I just stumble upon something like I could in Morrowind, it shouldn't be all that leveling and scaling it to your character takes away some of the fun of it. There's no reason to play it once you've hit that high level. And I like the mystery. And Oblivion, other than the Daedric Shrine Quest, there was no great loot. And apparently they're trying to change that in Skyrim, where there's always a reason to go out exploring and maybe you'll find this or that. And you might not even need it, but it's just fun to find something unique.
Yeah, I didn't really like it in how Oblivion, you went to a specific place, like as in the shrines, just to get that reward. I liked going through dungeons to get.
It's kind of late and off topic, but something I don't think about, we're talking about, we didn't even speak of, is the Radiant story, which I think it's kind of neat, the idea that the way, what's his name, Peter Hines, I believe. The Bethesda guy, someone tried to ask him told him to explain Radiant story in a simple sense, and he did a good job. And the example being, let's say we're all playing Skyrim, right? And we're all doing the same quest. So we get this, and you have to go, let's just say it's a fetch quest, you go to a dungeon to get something else, and us three can talk about it on the podcast next time, yet it'll be different for all of us because there's a different dungeon. The game checks to see where you've been and stuff like, so it's always fresh, and it keeps maybe it keeps quests from getting bugged too.
Yeah.
And it's an idea to, like I said, keep the game fresh. And if you wanted to do everything in the game, you'd be spending all this time doing it and you'd enjoy all of it.
I'm really interested to see how that's going to work out.
Especially when it comes to the way NPCs react to you, stuff like that. And I know Todwick, my boy, the toddler.
Todd Toho.
also kind of mentioned, and I thought this was cool, Radiant Story also kind of governs, like I said, NPC reactions. And Dark Elves, the Dumber, the one I want to play as, a lot of people look down upon them. And it's kind of cool that certain ones, and I mean, I know it's been like that in other games, but maybe this person won't even do business with you because you're of a certain race and you have to go to do the same quest. You have to find someone else that will do it. It's that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
It's once again, we come back to immersion, and that's what these games do so well.
And for the final question in the mailbag, are you going to buy it day one? I'll start with Chris.
That's pretty redundant question. But yeah.
There's a bear shit in the woods. Yeah.
Got the collector's edition, went through all kinds of stuff. So yeah, I'm going to buy it day one. Logan, are you going to buy it day one?
Midnight, baby. I am. I wouldn't miss this for the world. Andrew, how about you?
I think I'm going to end it on. I'll probably see you guys there at midnight.
All right. We're out of questions. But Josh, Super Everboy, thanks so much for sending in the questions. We always like answering these. A little bit of social aspect of the show. Jumping from one segment to another. That's it for the mailbag. Let's hop into everybody's favorite, the rapid fire. Alright, so here we are. Rapid fire, winding it down. GoldenEye 007 Reloaded. This is the remake of the remake. This was released for Xbox and PS3 not long ago. I believe it was today? I'm not quite sure. But anybody ever plan on picking this game up? Andrew?
No, I don't think I will. And I'm going to answer that with another question. I've always liked the GoldenEye, and I think remakes of classic games are pretty good. But should I feel bad that I've got no interest in it whatsoever?
Nah, I wouldn't say so. This game didn't really look interesting to me. I think they're missing the point of what made GoldenEye so great. And I don't know. I didn't really get the Wii one. I wouldn't want to play it again because what did GoldenEye do so well? Well, it was a console shooter that was played right. And you know what? Then we got Halo. And once Halo came through, everybody copied it. And now we have plenty of console shooters that play fine. So that was the mystique of GoldenEye. And I don't really feel like playing it again nowadays. I got plenty of other console shooters. I'm actually up to my neck in them. So... Anybody else planning to pick this up? How about you, Chris?
Well, I love playing it back then. I just have no interest in playing it. I might gamefly it maybe one day if I have no other games to play, but I'm not really interested.
Bailey?
Not interested, really, at all.
Next. All right, speaking of recent releases, Sonic Generations, a new Sonic game came out. I gotta be honest, I don't know much about this game. I always thought it was supposed to be a downloadable title, but apparently it was a full disc title that came out recently. Andrew, what did you think about this game?
Honestly, I think they just run out of so many ideas with the Sonic character that they're actually having to move backwards now. They're having to bring it back in time because they can't go forward in time anymore. So I think, honestly, the character needs to be just a novelty now. Just have him in things like Mario and Sonic's Olympics, but they need to stop giving him his own full-fledged games because they're not working. Bailey.
I've never been a really big Sonic fan, so I'm not excited about it or anything, but hopefully Sonic fans will get a good game this time. I don't know. How about you, Chris?
I can see how there's a fan base for it, but I think it's slowly dwindling.
Okay, well, Andrew's comment has miffed me. I got to go off a little tangent here.
Okay.
I understand what he's saying. I agree, but I never liked Sonic. I'll go ahead and quantify it with that, but I am the Mega Man fan, and I don't think franchises like that need to die. Call of Duty shit like that is not important. These are the franchises that actually are important. And yeah, I've played some 3D Sonic games, and they're terrible. I never played Sonic 4, but I heard it was pretty bad, too. But the old games were fun. And
platformers?
I don't agree with going to a disc. I had no idea it was on the disc, but... and Andrew talked about going backwards. I think they need to stay backwards. They're not 3D games other than any of this stuff. If you're going to go forward, do a Mega Man Legends thing. Make it a totally different game. Just abuse the name. Mega Man Legends has nothing to do with Mega Man. But if you're going to make a new game in the series, like Mega Man 9 and 10, make it a classic game. If that's what they're known for, if you have to stay on arcade or PSN or the WiiWare, do that. But don't try to make it something that's not. And I agree with the fan base is probably dwindling because all these crappy games have come out. But at the same time, these are fan bases that don't need to die out, and they need to stick to their roots. And that's the only chance for those things to survive. Next. All right, shifting gears, BioWare, they have a new IP in the making. It's going to be unveiled at the VGAs on December 10th this year. They had the same kind of teaser to a next big game last year, and it was Mass Effect 3. But this, they released a screenshot, and it looks nothing like anything they've done. What do y'all think about this?
To be honest, I looked at that picture, and I'm getting a sort of Rage, Borderlands yep. type of feel to it. And so, I mean, I'll give BioWare the benefit of the doubt. They're an extremely good developer. And so I'll trust them, and I'll wait and see what they have to offer. But I'm just going to say, personally, I look at that picture, and I'm a bit disinterested in what they're going to show. But I'll give them the benefit of the doubt and wait. And
I agree with you, Andrew. It does look different, and I saw the image as well. And it looks kind of cel-shaded, which, you know, it looks prettier. Or it looks pretty, I guess. But I'm not really sure how I feel about it yet, so I guess we'll just wait till the VGAs.
To me, it kind of looks like a derby game where you... okay. Just run cars into each other or something. But I don't know. We'll see.
That is a very literal interpretation of the screenshot. I like that.
BioWare, smash them up.
I'm with y'all. I got the whole Rage Borderlands feel from it, and I feel like Borderlands. I didn't like the game, but I feel like it made a pretty big splash because it was fun, I guess, for other people, and it was a unique setting, that kind of wasteland deal, and you know, Mad Max, great movie, had that nice little tone to it. But if that's what Rage, like I said, Rage did it. Let's not keep going back to this because eventually it's going to get very tired and it's going to be boring. It's just like the military shooter. World War II has been done to death. I mean, are you more World War II games? Shit, no. Modern Warfare, the damn modern terrorist shooter. That one's done to death now. What's going to be next? Space shooting? Probably. So... The Wasteland, blah, blah, blah. I'm with Andrew. I'll give BioWare a chance to show they can do it right, but color me disinterested at the moment. Next. Sticking with the screenshot motif, Alan Wake. There has been a long rumored sequel to that on the Xbox Live Arcade, even so. And Alan Wake's Night Spring, I believe is what it's called, Andrew. This has been confirmed now, and there's a screenshot. What do you think about this game? You're the Alan Wake fan here. What's the skinny?
I am the Alan Wake fan, and to be honest, I looked at the screenshot, and it puzzles me, really. I don't know what's going on with it. Apparently, it's got Alan Wake dressed in like a sort of a rural outfit, and he's got a flashlight like he usually has, but he's got a nail gun in his hand, and he's actually outside of Bright Falls. And so, from the look of the screenshot, at least, I don't know what's going on. And so the only thing I can see that comes from the Alan Wake first game is going to be Alan Wake himself. And so I'll have to see where they take it. But as of right now, I've got the puzzled look upon my face as to what they're going to do. How about you, Bailey?
I haven't played Alan Wake, so I don't really know much about it. But I did see the screenshot, and I guess I don't really have much of an opinion of it, to be honest. How about you, Chris?
Kind of looks like it's in the desert, considering it says like there's like
the desert. I haven't seen the screenshot, so keep going.
Well, it says there's like a motel or something, and it says like Desert Shore Motel. So maybe it's in the desert somewhere.
Insightful. But,
maybe.
To be honest, how is this game going to survive on the arcade?
I thought it was... Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's an arcade game, is it not?
Yes, sir, it is.
The first game, we were talking about immersion... Alan Wake was a hack story. Let's just get straight. The story was shit.
It was
garbage.
It was not that bad.
Garbage.
No, not that bad. You're blowing it out.
The setting was amazing. It was a perfect Twin Peaks kind of spooky atmosphere, and they hit that right on the head. And I'd hate for it to lose that. Like I said, I haven't even seen the screenshot, to be honest. But I'd like to play a sequel of it, as long as it kept the same kind of gameplay and all. And if it does that, let's put it this way. I think what made the first game so good was the setting. And... the atmosphere, not the psychological part of it, the hack story. So if they try to I feel like from what I've heard about this game, it's trying to go to this kind of whole whoa in your mind what's going on feel, where it needs to kind of be like the darkness, the light, and all that stuff. I thought that was really cool, and if they go that way, color me interested. If not, fuck it. Next. Finally for the evening, another 3DS Zelda. It is confirmed to be in development, but it's not going to be Majora's Mask 3D, at least not now. There's going to be a different one. What could this be? What are y'all opinions on that? Bailey, what you got?
Well, of course I'll play it since this is a Zelda game, but I really hope it's not going to be like another continuation of like the Wind Waker spirit tracks, that kind of story, because I'm getting really tired of it. I hope they do something new. So I hope it's a different kind of setting, I guess. I hope it's not the cell, not that I don't love the cell shaded stuff, but I hope it's different. How about you, Andrew?
I think I'm going to go to the Legend of Zelda Ages and Seasons and say that I think that it would be a good idea to make this next Zelda game by a different developer to bring in some sort of a different flavor to it. And so I'd like to see something like they did with Ages and Seasons, where it was a sort of different feel using the same atmosphere and the same characters. And I thought that would be pretty cool. How about you, Chris?
Well, the only Zelda game I've played is Link to the Past on the GBA, and I do not have a 3DS, so I'm not really interested.
I kind of like the idea that they're not just saying Majora's Mask 3D, although I think the 3D effect would be really cool with Majora's Mask. I think of the title screen where the mask is twirling in at you and out.
Yeah, especially when you change masks.
That'd be really cool. So I'm surprised they're not just going straight for that other cash cow move. What are they going to do? I don't know. I feel like the 3DS is a pretty good platform for a full-fledged Zelda, and I'm with you though. I played some of Phantom Hourglass a ways back, and I did not like that whole repeating dungeon shit.
Yeah, but they fixed that with Spirit Tracks.
I never played it, I'll be honest, but I heard that the train was kind of boring in that game.
It was all right.
I love the Wind Waker, but if you want to change of pace, then I definitely do, because you're a bit more forgiving than I am. I'd love to see what they could do on the 3DS with Zelda, but I hope it's not too gimmicky when they're done. And that does it for the rapid fire.
Yay!
All right, podcast number 9. It is in the books. That was a lot of fun, guys. I kind of like last time. I can't believe I'm saying that Skyrim is almost here. Like I said, I feel like yesterday, me, Bay, and Andrew sitting around drinking beer and eating pizza, watching the VGAs. So definitely, anybody that's listening, I'm sure they're going to play the game. I hope they enjoy it this Friday. I can't wait. So yeah, as always, any impressions of the podcast, this, that, hell, I don't care. Tell me what you think about Skyrim. Just put it in the thread, and pretty soon, I imagine we're going to have our own podcast page on the site. A little long overdue, but Travis is about to redesign all that, so that should be up before the time we record our next one, so looking forward to that. Comments, questions, anything like that, put it in the thread. I believe y'all can guess what's coming next time we do one of these. I'll let y'all just guess at the date, but there will be another podcast, and I will say it will be soon. And with that, we will see y'all next time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
See ya.
I can't do it. I've been thrown. I did two good takes, and then something happened. What happened the first time? The phone rang. And what happened next time?
Thank God the night.
Get it out of there, chucklers.
Yeah.
Okay. How about you, Logan?
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
I'm gonna go ahead.
Hey, go ahead.
Well, I have to agree with Andrew. I have to say it was an amazing experience that I'm glad we got to experience.
I mean, literally agree with Andrew. Word for word. And I want a shirt. An amazing experience that we got to experience.
God, mine is half done.
That's the sound of all that is being cut.